So we're going to share the Lord's Supper in a little while. Just want to read the scripture. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. This is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. If you'd like to stand while we read God's word, I'd invite you to do so. It's not required, but as we share in his truth. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It's for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we will proclaim his death because it tells us all that God has planned. This plan that went from before the foundation of the world and goes into eternity future, it turns on Christ's birth that we celebrated last week and his death and resurrection that we celebrate this week. God's plan to make us his children, to make us his family.
Several online praying for a blessed and healthy new year. Sue Puff is praising God for answers to all of our prayers. Those of you who know Sue has had some medical issues, and she's recovering bit by bit by bit and still improving. Lynn asks for travel mercies for Becca and for Megan, who are going to Florida this week, and for peaceful rallying in D.C. There's lots of things going on, as you're probably aware, governmentally, that could go south in some fashion, and we pray for peaceful conversations and truth to come out and for the right thing to happen, for God's will to be done. And so we pray for all of those. But Wendy has come to share a little testimony, and I'll let you come on up here and you can take your mask off as well as I step away.
Hi. This has been a glorious and difficult year. 2020 has been hard for so many. I know. I am so blessed to have such a wonderful husband and wonderful family. I thought years ago watching my sister go was tough. This year has been really, really hard. Watching my mother slowly lose who I know she's always been. And the relationship is hard, but I also know that God is in control, and it's not her, it's the principalities around that are trying to tear what we have apart. It's hard that family is so far away and can't be here. We've also, like many of you, have had family that have had illnesses that we never expected this year. And I'm just thankful for this family and for so many friends who have prayed with me. But you know what? Someone gave me this book, The Cloud. I don't know if you've read it. It's Follow the Cloud. It's awesome. And you know what? When the Israelites were wandering, God gave them the cloud to follow. And it just is a reminder to keep our eyes on the Lord, for he will never, never leave us or forsake us, even when it's difficult. And I know a lot of it is emotional for me with mom and my family, and it's hard, but it's hard for all of us. It's just been a difficult year, but it has brought me to being on, crying out to the Lord and just saying, "It's yours," because I can't fix it. I can't even fix myself sometimes. But he's there and he is faithful. And you know what? If I don't have that, I don't have anything. So I want to thank you all. Praise you.
Let's take a moment to pray for Wendy. And she mentions that it's been a hard year for many. Eric alluded to earlier that there's been a great deal of loss this year. I just heard on the news this morning that the data would indicate 350,000 some people have passed away this year. Whether it's directly COVID or related to COVID, and if it's those that are just related to COVID, is probably a bigger number for those who weren't able to get the care that they needed. All those kind of things, they pile together. But for those who have lost, it doesn't matter what the reason is, they've lost. And so as some have lost their lives, some have lost their, capacity, as Wendy talks about her mom, declining. And many of us have seen that. This year we've had several in our family, church family, who have lost their mothers, their brothers, and so forth. And so let's take a moment to pray for those before Nate shares his testimony as well. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are sovereign over all of these issues. None of these things come as a surprise to you. The COVID-19 was not a surprise to you, and the implications of it and the responses to it, none of that has been a surprise to you either. And so we come to you trusting you. We thank you for Wendy's turning to you, to wanting to follow the cloud, to see where it is you're leading and just go there, not knowing what it includes, not knowing the implications of it, but trusting that you are a gracious and loving Father and God, sovereign over all things. You provided our salvation, and we can rejoice with inexpressible joy because of that. We pray for those who have lost family members this year, and friends and co-workers. Lord, the loss seems to hit as a ripple, and it goes well beyond immediate family. And so as a church family, we want to just come to you and rest in your comfort and ask for your grace in the lives of those who have faced those losses, that they might also reach out to you for comfort, and that in your grace you would be there for them, that you would surround them, that you would uplift them, that you would reveal yourself to them, that they might have your peace, and that they might have peace with you. Lord, it's been a difficult year in many ways. We thank you that you're sovereign even so, and we look forward to what it is you'll do this year. We would love for it to be a much more upbeat year, but perhaps it won't be, but we trust you even so because of who you are and what you've done in our lives. We trust you, Lord. We rejoice in your presence in our lives, and we pray that we might demonstrate that to others such that they would come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you don't know Nate, but Nate's about to step up here and share with us. Nate?
Thank you. I would just like to praise God for the amazing strength that he's given to my 2-year-old niece who went and battled cancer this year and had chemo treatments. Her last chemo treatment, I believe, was December 17th. And in 3 months' time, they're going to test her again to see if she has to go back through that process. I'd also like to thank the members of this church and people that I know who prayed with me for my niece. And I thank you very much. And I think you would all agree that God's creation is amazing. And only God can make my niece so strong and so healthy in this incredible time. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Nate. So Nate's niece is Callie, and we prayed for her probably, I don't know, it was a year ago maybe. One of the first times Nate was here, we had a celebration Sunday, and I offered for testimonies, and this fella who I just met the week before said, I'd like to share. And I went, oh, imagine that. And there he was, and there he's talking about Callie, and we've been praying for her, and she is through her first round of chemo with, we're hoping, good results. 3 months from now, we'll find out. Connected to that, some of you know that Evelyn Gagnon had her CAT scan or CT scan this past Tuesday, or got results from it this past Tuesday, and those were good as well. The tumor that she has is not growing, and the side effects that she had from her chemo are beginning to be addressed and not completely removed yet, but they were moving forward, and so it's just a great praise for what God has done. Others within our church family who have faced cancer this year, some are still in the midst of facing cancer, and Dan Fergaley just shared that someone in his family has passed through cancer. COVID's not the only issue. Nor is cancer the only issue, and nor is health issues the only issues that we can come to God for and ask for his grace. But let's pray about these two issues in specific. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in Callie's life. We do pray that her scan in 3 months would show that she is done, that the cancer is gone, perhaps not even just in remission, but gone by your grace, and may that continue to demonstrate your love to Nate and to his family. That they might all know you more in that. We thank you for the work that you've done in Evelyn's life and in her body to stop the growth of that tumor, to allow the side effects of chemo to be addressed and reduced. Lord, we pray that they also would be eliminated, that the tumor would be fully eliminated. We only know to ask for the stars, Lord, for everything that you could do. But we trust you, whatever answer you give is the right answer, is the best answer, brings you the most glory, is best for us. Lord, that's hard to do sometimes. We acknowledge that. But as your children, we come knocking on your door and ask for total healing. Give us the faith we need to walk through whatever circumstances we face. We pray for others in our church family who are dealing with cancer, dealing with remission and out of remission and things stirring up. May we know as a family how to care for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned last week a fellow by the name of Russ DeWine, who was going to be baptized next week, but he ended up in the hospital with bilateral pneumonia. I spoke to him this past week. He's doing better. He's on oxygen, but he feels like he's turned the corner and is getting better. That's Sharon Laganor's sister-in-law's brother, to keep it, you know, to show how it connects to the family. But even if it didn't connect to the family, it's a praise that God has brought him through that struggle and will continue to do so. Eric? He is home now. Excellent. Very good. A couple more prayer concerns from online. Donna Taverna, we've heard these prayer concerns over the past couple weeks. Her son-in-law, Tom, is still having breathing issues with COVID-19. And her nephew, Toby Jr., goes to Roswell tomorrow for medical consultation for a tumor in his neck. May the Lord heal them both. Dale Welt, you might have seen earlier in the week, they had lost something that they were looking for. That item was found, so there's a prayer answered. And Jerry Bowden, praising God that my trust in his sovereignty has greatly increased these last few years. Therefore, the challenges of 2020 have not defeated me. Pray that that might be all of our response, all of our experiences, that God has brought us closer to him so that when we face trials, they build us up rather than tear us down. That's his purpose in trials. We've talked about that through 1 Peter. These trials we face for a short time, but they accomplish God's will. So we'll pray for these things, and then Karen has a testimony to share. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in all of these situations, for Donna's son-in-law and her nephew. These are both issues that are not yet resolved. So they are praises in that we know we can trust you, but they're still requests that the COVID-19 would be overcome, that the consultation at Roswell would be able to identify proper treatment, and Lord, we would ask that by the time it gets to Roswell, the tumor would be gone. We know you're able to do such things, but we trust you for the process you want to take them through, the trials they might face that might draw them closer to you. We thank you that the Welts were able to find that thing that they lost. Even in those little things, we can see your hand and praise you for them. And we thank you for the work you've done in Jerry Bowden's life and in each of our lives, that 2020 has not defeated us, but that we've grown in our faith and that you are with us and beside us. May we trust you even more in 2021. In Jesus' name, amen. Karen.
I had decided ahead of time I was not going to give a testimony today. It's too hard if I have to climb up onto the platform. It's too hard if I have to hold a microphone because you can see what my hand does. But then as we were singing How Great Is Our God, I thought, how can I not? Because God has truly been great and gracious with me this year. I struggled greatly during the early quarantine when we first were locked down because of COVID, and yet God provided family and friends who did what they could to make those hard days better. It was also a time for me to draw near to God by myself, because that's what God wanted from me. I lost a mom and a niece this year, indirectly related to COVID, and both were difficult, but God, in his grace, has given peace. I had family members slip into extreme bouts of depression. And again, God is giving grace for them as well as for me. I asked for prayer for several weeks for ongoing situations with my sons, and I was not forthcoming. I wasn't able to tell what was going on with them. My son Jeff, very unexpectedly, not related to COVID, lost his job several months ago. He had worked for the company for 13 years and moved to Binghamton to improve his situation with them. All of a sudden, they came in one day at the end of a work shift and said, "Give me the keys to your company truck, you're fired." He had to call his wife to get him home from work that day. That was so stressful for him and for me. So I was praying and praying and praying, and he sent out, the day after he was fired, he began updating his resume, sending out job applications, sent out over 50 job applications, and obviously my desire was for him to come back here. Well, on the 19th of December, which was my birthday, he and Lori were scheduled to come here, and he had said there was something major going on in January, but he wouldn't tell me what it was. And so immediately, because I'm mom and because I'm Karen, my thoughts went in terrible directions. And finally, he did share with Derek what was going on, and Derek said to me, "Mom, it's okay, it's nothing bad." I said, "Nothing medical?" He said, "No, nothing medical." So the day that he was there, he shared with me that he and Lori are moving back here to Western New York. And he has a job, very much the same kind of company that he worked for, in the same position he was fired at, and yet much higher pay, much better working hours, and much better medical benefits. God has so blessed in that. He will be coming this week, and he's starting his online training and then spending some time with me, and he and Lori will move here officially on March 1st. God has also provided a job for Lori. The situation with Derek has been improving. It's an ongoing struggle for him, but God is gracious. And my prayer is in all of this that they will, along with their families, turn to greater relationship with God, and that I will be the testimony of a God-fearing, God-loving mother and grandmother to all of them. Thank you, God, for all the blessings of this year.
How great is our God? Hey, look at the video. Jackson, if you could go ahead, we'll watch the video testimony from Phyllis Hardy at this point. Danielle, you might want to go ahead and scan in and catch one of these TV screens or something to get a good image for those who are online. Again, Phyllis Hardy, International Mission Board missionary for a number of years, member of our church for the past couple years, lives in Lewiston and hasn't been able to attend. Her family's out of town, and so if she were to get sick, that would completely upset them, and so she's being very careful. But she and Yan and Michael Kurtachi, who have also been members of our church for just over a year or two, they all live in Lewiston, and so they hang out together and they do Bible study together. But this is Phyllis's testimony of her service as an International Mission Board missionary.
I am Phyllis Hardy, missionary with the International Mission Board. It was called Foreign Mission Board when my husband were appointed in 1974. We went to Taiwan and served with the Chinese for almost 20 years. And then we were asked to relocate when Russia opened, and we were there for about 10 years with another year in the Czech Republic. My husband was Charles Hardy. He's now with the Lord as of 5.5 years ago. And we were in church planting, church starting. And in the last 10 years, we were particularly with the people of Russia who had never heard the gospel before. They grew up during the days of communism, and that was all they knew. So the Lord began to work, and we were with the gifts from Lottie Moon, we were able to purchase Bibles and give them to people for Bible study and start several Bible studies in the city of Novosibirsk, which is New Siberia. That's what the word means. And it was a city of about 2 million people at the time, roughly maybe 1 to 1.5 million right now. And the Lord blessed us with five church starts that are still going on. And we have still kept in contact with people. So through the Lottie Moon giving, we were able to use part of that and put some windows in our apartment that were double pane, and it kept our apartment warmer. We used our apartment for Bible studies and sometimes even for a medical clinic when we had people from the States that were doctors coming and they were wanting to minister to the people of the community. We also had funds that came through the International Mission Board for us to give to the people when there was a shortage of potatoes and other vegetables during the year. And how we did this is our new Christians, new generation Christians, wanted to be a part of this and began to pray about that before we even knew that we had any money. And they helped us to divvy out the sacks of flour, rice, sugar, whatever, and to take them and give them to the people. And what we did, if they could come to a church service, we welcomed them to come there and receive it. But the new generation Christians would tell them, these items came from Christians in America, and we are new generation Christians here that have prepared them for you. And the people in America are loving you and praying for you and have sent these funds to help provide for a physical need that you have. So we were just thrilled with how God was using them to reach the people that they knew, and it would be a continuing ministry. I would like to tell you about one lady who came to Christ. Her name is Irina. She was my first and best friend through all these years. Not a believer. Took 2 years before she came to Christ. Started with atheist in my Bible study. And she asked me one day, she said, I know you get lonely. How do you handle that, being so far away from your family and friends? And I told her, I said, Irina, Charles and I have people in America in our churches, and they are praying for us. And when we get lonely and feel alone, we just tell the Lord about it, because He knows where we are and He cares about every need that we have. And her response was, well, I have heard both of you pray, and I've never heard anyone else pray that I feel like they are touching God. And so on, little by little, she came to know Christ, and then was able to lead not only some of her friends to Christ, led her husband to Christ. My husband led him to Christ. And then a grandmother was at the point of death. This grandmother had hated Irina all of her life. And Irina had cried many times with me about the mean, cruel things that she had said and done. And she went to see her grandmother in the hospital. She told her dad, who's an atheist, said, Dad, I want to tell Grandma something, but she won't receive it from me. Will you translate for me? Although they were all speaking Russian. She shared the gospel with the grandmother, who raised up in the bed and said, I'm dirty, I'm dirty. And they said, no, no, you are clean. We washed your clothes, your sheets are clean. She said, no, you don't understand, I'm dirty. Jesus, save me. And then with that, turned and apologized to Irina's mother, who was the daughter-in-law. Irina left and went home. But before dawn the next day, that grandmother had met Jesus. And we were all so thrilled with that. But Irina began to tear up. She said, "I'm really thrilled also." But she said, "What really is sad to me is that my grandmother, who loved me, died before she ever had the chance to hear the gospel." When we left Novosibirsk, our new Christians shared this with us that was just, it stopped us almost in our trails. They said, "We want you to know that we are changed lives because you came to Russia. And if you had never come to Russia, we would have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ." That's what the International Mission Board and Lottie Moon offering are about, helping others come to know Jesus personally and have a personal relationship with a holy God. If I could make decisions over, I would do the same thing. And I thank you for your support. Some of you were supporting Lottie Moon when we were there in Taiwan, and some when we were in Russia, and just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with those who've never heard.
Thank you, Phyllis. I'm sure you're joining us from afar, and we thank you for that testimony. And if you get to know Phyllis at all, you know that mission did not end there with her in Russia. But she has brought that home. She is on mission continuously, and she is a vibrant member of our body. We have others that are part of the IMB still, and Chad Helmer, even though he's stateside, he's still working with the IMB and supported thusly. And so just continue to pray for our missionaries. Let's even take a time right now before Olivia's going to just play a single verse through a song to kind of get our hearts focused in on the Lord's Supper and on remembering Christ. But in this time, let's pray for our missionaries. And even as money might even come in, but that which has already come, that Lord God, that you may take that which we give, and may it go to the uttermost reaches of this world, Lord God, to bring your great gospel, to bring the treasure of your person into the hearts of people who do not know you, have never had the opportunity of hearing about you, have never seen Christ alive in a person that they could they can speak to and they could hear about Christ from. I pray, Lord God, that your great truth would ring out across Africa and across Asia, across Mexico, across South America, Lord God, across all of Europe, and wherever else, Lord God, throughout the islands of this world, Lord God, and here across America and Canada, Lord God, we pray that your great truth would ring out, that you would encourage our missionaries today, that you would lift up their heads, Lord God, and help them to know that the Church of God is praying for them and is behind them. I pray this in your name. Amen. Let's just meditate and get our hearts prepared for the Lord's Supper. Largely, we're going to be looking at Scripture throughout this time that we are going to be receiving the Lord's Supper. So it's really just a time for us to dwell upon the words of Christ, the person of Christ. Let me begin with the book of Luke, starting with chapter 22, where Christ is with his disciples in this first Lord's Supper. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And then he said to them, "I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup and, after giving thanks, he said, "Take and share it among yourselves, for I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine in the kingdom of God until the kingdom of God comes." I ask you today, what is it that we are remembering of Christ? You know, we systematically, I guess you can say, as far as the first week of each month, we do the Lord's Supper together. We are really called to remember Christ in each time that we gather, not only here as a congregation, but as people in our homes, as we gather together, as over the holidays. We are called to remember Christ. Think about how different our home lives might be, our times together might be, if we really stopped and we remembered Christ at each and every time that we gathered together. As a family, as you know, I think about that, you know, all the squabbling might go down a little bit, the little irritations, you know, remember Christ and his sufferings. And I kind of pinpointed some things about Christ that I was thinking that we would do well to remember today. I want to just read some more scripture and let you remember Christ in this way. And at one point, I will say, Lord, we remember you. And I would ask that you would respond back with, Lord, we remember you. Okay? Jesus washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now by the time of supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. And Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his robe, took out a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. And he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, What I'm doing, you don't understand now. But afterwards, you will know. You'll never wash my feet, ever, Peter said. And Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. The one who bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except for his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew that he would betray him, and this is why he said, you are not all clean. And when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his robe, he reclined again and said, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. This is well said, for I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Lord Jesus, we remember you today. Amen. Remember you in washing our feet and going and sacrificing yourself on our account. In John chapter 15, we remember Jesus in his teaching. I am the way, the true vine. I am the true vine, excuse me. And my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. If you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. As our teacher, as our life, and as the power of our lives, Jesus, we remember you. In John chapter 17, we see that he prayed for us, his people. I pray not only for these, he's talking of his disciples, but also of those who believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us so that the Lord may believe that you sent me. I have given them glory and you have given me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one, I in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one so the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father God, thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, today, as a man of prayer, as a man who looked after us, who gave himself for us, as the one who stands at the side of the Father and prays on our account. Lord Jesus, we remember you. The high priest questioned Jesus in John chapter 18. As they came to him in the garden. And Jesus, knowing everything that was about to happen, went out and said to them, "Who is it that you're looking for?" This is when they had come to him to take him away. In verse 5, they say, "Jesus the Nazarene." "I am he," Jesus told them. And Judas, who betrayed him, was also standing there with them. And he told them, "I am he." And they stepped back and fell to the ground when he said this. And they asked them again, "Who is it that you're looking for?" "Jesus the Nazarene," they said. "I told you, I'm he," Jesus replied. "So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the words that he had said, "I have not lost one of those you have given me." And Simon the Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. At that, Jesus said to Peter, "Sheathe your sword. Am I not to drink the cup the Father has given me?" And as you know, he reaches out, he touches the man's ear, and heals him. You remember Jesus, the man of power, the man of peace. Jesus, this day, we choose to remember you. So when that hour had come, going back to our original scripture in Luke, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves." But first we lift up the body of Christ as represented here, this little cracker. And we say, "Lord Jesus, we remember you today. Thank you for the body that was broken, that was splayed out on the cross, that was torn to pieces on our account. We remember you." We'll continue just briefly here, just as we remember Christ once or twice more. In John chapter 19, they took Jesus away. Verse 17 says, "He carrying his own cross, he went out to what was called the skull place, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side with Jesus in the middle. Pilate had also had a sign lettered and put on the cross, and the inscription was, 'Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read the sign because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Don't write King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.' And Pilate replied, 'What I have written, I have written.' And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, a part of each soldier. They took the tunic, and it was just seamless, woven in one piece from the top, and they said to one another, 'Let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who gets it.' This they did to fulfill the scripture that says, 'They divided my clothes among themselves, and they cast lots for my clothing.' And this is what the soldiers did. Later on in that same chapter, since it was preparation day, the Jews did not want the bodies to remain in the cross on the Sabbath. They requested Pilate to have the men's legs broken, that the bodies may be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who had been crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus, they did not break his legs, since they saw that he was already dead. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. And he who saw this has testified, so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth." Father God, we thank you for that blood that was spilled at the cross. From the forehead that dripped because of the crown that was placed there, for the beating upon your back, the beard that was torn, the nails that had pierced your hands and your feet. We remember you, our Jesus, our sacrifice, and we bless you, our God. And he took the cup, and let's do this together. He took the cup and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Jesus, we remember you. He did not remain in the tomb, if you recall, but that third day, you see just a short page away, 3 days later, in John chapter 20, it says that he came up from the grave. He shows himself to his disciples, and he lives forevermore at the right hand of the Father. And that is worth celebrating today. He is our hope. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is the life of all men. He is the Christ, our Messiah. And so today we choose to remember him. Let's not remember him just in this room. As we're getting ready to go to DNA, as we're getting ready to go into our lives, let us remember him every step we take. As we go through the day, every person we meet, let us remember him. His body, his blood that was given for us. Amen.